All right, diving into Blood Bowl today, two seasons worth. We've got all of Season XX wrapped up nice and neat, and then we're catching Season XXI right in the thick of it.
Oh, this is going to be good.
I know, right? You know how I get when I can really dig into the data?
Oh, yeah.
And we're going deep today, not just looking at who won and lost, but like really breaking it down. Team compositions, you know, how players are progressing, all that good stuff.
The juicy details.
Exactly. And how those coaches make those tough calls, especially in a game where one single dice roll can just, poof, change everything.
That's Blood Bowl for you. It's brutal, man.
It is. Okay, so to add another layer of fun to this, we're zeroing in on two specific teams, and they're from the new Ogham League.
Okay, cool.
First up, we have Nobrutos. Orc and Mork.
A classic.
They're your classic orc team, right? Strength and aggression. That's their bread and butter. They've got the star thrower, Yokor Flesh Desang. He's going to be interesting to track.
Orc thrower, huh? Those guys can be dangerous if they get going.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And for their opponents, just to make things even spicier,
right.
We've got Nodo. Black is the color.
Black orcs.
They're a black orc team. Resilience is their thing. And let's be honest, pure stubbornness.
Yeah, those black orcs, they just don't know when to quit.
Right. And their player, David Gilmore, he pulled off a super surprising MVP performance in one of the matches. So we're going to unpack that. How did that even happen?
I'm curious about that myself.
So let's rewind a bit first, okay?
Yep.
Back to Season XX. We get that beautiful full season view there. What were the big, like, standout trends for you? What jumped out?
Looking at how things ended up, Season XX really showed how sometimes speed and agility can just totally beat brute force.
You know, interesting.
The underworld teams, they snagged the top two spots.
Oh, way.
Yeah, proving you don't always have to be the biggest or strongest to, like, rule the pitch.
Makes sense, yeah.
They were amazing at messing up plays, you know, and turning those turnovers into points. Like, the ultimate Blood Bowl opportunists, I'd say.
I like that. The ultimate Blood Bowl opportunists. So that sneaky, agile style, it really throws a wrench in things, doesn't it?
It does. It can really shake things up.
What about the dwarves? They landed in third. That feels like a real underdog story, right?
It does.
How'd they manage to, like, hold their own against those faster teams?
I think the dwarves are a great example of how, like, consistency and a really, really solid game plan can pay off big time.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, they're famous for their defense, right? Yeah. So disciplined. And they're, like, incredibly methodical.
It's the dwarf way.
Yeah, they might not have the flashiest players, but they wear you down. You make a mistake, they're going to make you pay.
Yeah.
And that's how they do it.
They just grind you down.
Yeah. Their success really shows you you need a well-defined strategy. Even when you're going up against teams that seem, I don't know, maybe more exciting.
More dynamic.
Yeah, more dynamic on the surface.
Yeah, it's not just about raw power then. You need that strategy, that consistency. Okay, cool. So let's fast forward now. We're at Season XY, still in progress. And we're focusing on those two teams we talked about, the Orcs and the Black Orcs. How are their seasons going so far? Let's start with Nobrutos, Gork and Mork. Their team values jumped way up. From 1090 to 1400, that's a big increase. What's going on there?
That jump, it tells me they're investing in their players, for sure. And they're getting results, which is, you know, the important part. Orcs, they're known for being strong, obviously, but they've actually got one of the highest skill progression rates in the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they might start off a little weaker than some races, but they catch up fast.
Yeah.
Looking at their roster, it seems like they've been leveling up their linemen a lot. And those guys, they're the backbone of any team.
The foundation.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they're building that solid foundation, not just relying on, like, a couple of stars. But speaking of stars, let's talk about that thrower of theirs, Yokor Flesh Desang. He's starting at level 4, and he's got skills like accurate, nerves of steel. Seems like a pretty decent base for a thrower. How's he been doing? Has he progressed?
Wilkor's a great example of how coaches can really, like, guide player development, even in a game with, you know, so much random.
It's still in their hands to some degree.
Yeah, to a point. So he's gained a level, which is good.
Yeah.
But the really big thing is he picked up the dodge skill.
Dodge.
Now, that's useful for anyone, sure. But for an orc thrower, game changer.
Okay. Why is that?
He can move around now.
Right.
You know, position himself for those throws without getting stuck makes him way more versatile, way more dangerous.
He's not just a sitting duck anymore.
Exactly. It adds a whole layer of strategy to their game.
Okay. Before we move on to the Black Orcs, I want to zoom out for a sec. Big picture. Nobrutos as a team. What are we seeing? Strengths, weaknesses? based on all this lovely data.
Well, they're definitely committed to player development. Mm-hmm. That's huge. You can see it with how they're leveling up those linemen, with how they're developing Yokor. They're thinking long term. But their weakness, I'd say it's casualties.
Casualties.
Yeah, orcs hit hard, but they also take a lot of risks.
It's that aggressive style.
Exactly. And we're seeing a lot of injuries on their roster. Knockouts. More than average, for sure.
Mm.
That can really mess with their momentum, make them vulnerable as the season goes on.
Aggression comes at a price, huh?
It does. Always a trade-off.
Okay, interesting. All right, let's shift gears. We're looking at NO Black is the color now. Their team value is lower, starting at 815. Now it's at 995. What's their deal? How are they building their team? How is it different from the orcs?
Black orcs, oh man. They're the definition of slow and steady wins the race.
I love that.
You just can't take them down easily. But they don't develop skills as fast as orcs.
So it's a different kind of investment.
It is. Looking at their roster, they've gone for a more balanced approach. They want durable players who can take a beating and control the game's pace.
That makes sense.
It's classic Black Orc, you know?
Yeah.
Grind you down, wear you out. Mm-hmm. Not about those big flashy plays. It's a war of attrition.
There are those immovable objects out on the field. Which brings us to David Gilmore. This guy somehow gets that MVP title. What can we learn from that? What happened there?
This is where it gets really interesting, you know, the whole skill versus luck thing.
Oh, yeah.
David's MVP performance, it wasn't just like some crazy lucky dice rolls. He was in the right spots, yeah. But he made smart choices, too. Took advantage of opportunities others might have missed.
So he was ready?
He was ready. Black Orcs aren't known for scoring a ton, but David, he made the most of his chances. It shows you, even the most unexpected players can have these brilliant moments.
Anyone can shine.
Exactly.
So it was a mix of things then, a bit of luck for sure, but also skill, good decision making, and maybe some smart coaching too. Who knows? But has he done it again?
Has he been able to replicate that magic?
Yeah. Has that MVP game been like a one-time thing?
Mm.
Or is this a pattern now?
See, that's the thing with Black Orcs. You know, they're not about those flashy plays. Consistency, that's where their value is.
Makes sense, yeah.
If you look at David's other matches, it's solid performances.
Yeah.
Nothing, like, spectacular, but solid.
Okay.
He's the kind of player who sets things up for his teammates, you know? Mm-hmm. Tying up opponents, disrupting plays. Not glamorous, but so important for their team.
He's the unsung hero.
Yeah, the foundation of their whole strategy.
It really highlights how different teams need different types of players, right?
Yeah.
Everyone contributes in their own way.
Exactly. And it's cool to see how those different approaches actually play out over a whole season.
Right.
Like the orcs, they're all about individual power, always going for those big plays, the game changers.
Right, right.
But the black orcs, they're happy to just grind you down, minimize mistakes, and then bam, they capitalize on any slip up.
So it's like two different philosophies, you know, clashing on the Blood Bowl pitch.
Yeah, I like that.
High risk, high reward versus slow and steady.
And both can work.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the coach, of course, and you know, a little bit of luck never hurts.
Of course. Speaking of coaching, let's talk about that a bit more. We saw how Yokor got that dodge skill.
Mm-hmm.
How much control does a coach actually have over how their players develop? Is it all just dice rolls and hoping for the best?
Oh, coaches do way more than just yell from the sidelines. They have a lot of influence, surprisingly.
Really?
Yeah. One of their big tools is skill selection. When a player levels up, they get a new skill, right?
Oh, yeah.
The coach gets to choose which one. It's got to fit that player's role on the team.
Oh, so it's like a puzzle then.
It is. You got to figure out which skills will make each player the best they can be and how that all fits into the overall strategy.
I like that. So a good coach, they understand each player, right? Their strengths, weaknesses, and then pick skills that work with that.
Exactly. Like, imagine a blitzer. He's already good at taking down opponents, right? So you give him tackle or strip ball, makes him even more of a beast.
It's about having a well-rounded team. Everyone has a job to do, and they've got the skills to do it well.
Yep, that's the idea.
But I'm guessing experience plays a big part too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Nothing beats actually playing matches. Mm-hmm. The more a player gets out there, the more they learn. All the little things, the strategies, how to react when something unexpected happens.
Right, right. Like anything, the more you do it, the better you get.
Exactly.
So a good coach doesn't just pick the right skills. They make sure their players get those reps in. But we can't forget about the randomness, you know? Those dice rolls that can just completely change a game. How does a coach even prepare for that?
That's the big challenge, right? Finding that balance between skill and luck. You can have the best training, the perfect plan, But sometimes the dice just hate you.
Happens to the best of us.
It does. And that's where the mental side of coaching comes in.
Ooh, the mental game. Tell me more.
It all starts with building a good team culture. A good coach creates an environment where players feel supported. They can take risks, make mistakes, and bounce back from those tough losses. You celebrate the wins together, but you also learn from the losses. You don't blame each other.
It's about that unity, that shared purpose, right? More than just winning or losing.
Exactly. And it's about managing expectations. Blood Bowl is crazy. You're going to have those moments where it feels like the universe is against you.
We've all been there.
A good coach helps their players understand that. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about avoiding it. It's about how you react.
So it's about that resilience, that mental toughness. Keep going, even when it feels like the dice are cursed.
It is. And it's about remembering that ultimately it's a game.
Right.
You want to win? Sure. But the real win is the camaraderie, the shared experience, and what you learn along the way.
Well said. Even when it's super competitive, got to keep that perspective. That's what makes Blood Bowl so special.
That's what I love about it, honestly.
Yeah.
It's more than just a game. You see that human element everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to get caught up in the stats and tactics, but there are real people behind all of that.
With their own stories.
Totally. It's like with the two teams we've been looking at, you know, the orcs, all about that individual power. They're the glory seekers, the ones who want those big explosive moments.
Right.
And then the black orcs, they're like the wall. They find satisfaction in being tough and working together. It's like a little microcosm of human nature played out on a tiny football field.
It is. And it reminds us there's no one right way to play the game or to do anything, really.
Oh, I like that.
It's about finding your own style, what you're good at, and learning how to adapt, because things are always changing.
And maybe the most important thing, enjoying the ride, right? The ups and downs, the wins, the losses. Embrace the chaos, that unpredictability. That's what makes it fun.
Couldn't have said it better myself. We've covered a lot today. Team dynamics, player development, luck, even the psychology of coaching.
Phew. It's been a journey. We've seen how the choices we make as coaches, as players, affect the outcome. But also, sometimes those dice have other plans.
It's true.
And that's the beauty of Blood Bowl, I think. It challenges you in so many ways. Makes you think, adapt, and handle all those emotions that come with winning and losing.
It does. And those challenges, those lessons, they actually apply to life outside the game, too. You know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're always making decisions, dealing with setbacks. And sometimes we just got to hope for a little luck.
So as you think about your own Blood Bowl coaching style, think about how those same ideas apply to your own life, your work, your relationships, everything.
I like that. Makes you think.
Are you a risk taker? Do you play it safe? Do you go big and bold? Or are you more about resilience, about patience? This has been awesome. We've gone so deep into Blood Bowl today. It's not just about the game itself. It's about all those echoes of our own lives.
It really is. It's been great.
We've seen how the choices we make, even the small ones, can make a huge difference. They shape our journey in ways we might not even realize. And we can't always control what happens, those random events, but we can be ready for them. Adapt, adjust, maybe even laugh about it sometimes.
Exactly. Gotta have a sense of humor about it.
This has been so much fun. Thank you for joining us on this crazy ride into Blood Bowl. We've uncovered so much, the strategies, the human side of it all.
My pleasure.
Before we wrap things up completely, I want to leave our listeners with one last question, something to think about.
Okay, hit me with it.
Imagine you're a Blood Bowl coach, right? Got your team, your playbook, ready for the new season. What's your coaching philosophy? What do you want your players to learn? And how do you handle that balance between strategy, skill, and luck?
Ooh, good one.
Would you go for those super agile underworld teams all about speed and tactics? Or would you embrace the brute force of the orcs? Or maybe the unbreakable black orcs?
Tough choices.
It's not just about strategy. It's about you. Who are you as a competitor? Are you a risk taker, going for those big wins? Or do you like to be in control, take things slow and steady?
I like that. Different strokes for different folks.
And what about when those bad luck moments happen? You know, fumbles, terrible dice rolls. Do you tell your players to shake it off, focus on the next play, or do you dive into the stats trying to find patterns, ways to minimize that bad luck?
That's Blood Bowl, right? Always something to analyze.
This is where it gets deep. It challenges you in every way. It makes you think strategically, adapt to those crazy situations, and handle all the emotions of winning and losing. And those challenges, they actually apply to our lives too, you know, outside of Blood Bowl.
Oh, yeah. So many parallels.
We're always dealing with those things. Decisions, setbacks, moments where we just need a little bit of luck. So as you think about how you'd coach your Blood Bowl team, think about how you approach your own life.
Makes you think, huh?
It does. Are you calculated, minimizing those chances? Or do you go all in, bold and aggressive? This deep dive has been amazing. We've explored not just the game itself, but also how it reflects our own experiences.
It's been a great journey.
We've seen how the choices we make, big or small, can have a ripple effect. They change things in ways we might not expect. We can't always control those random events, but we can be ready for them. Be adaptable, adjust our plans, and maybe even find a way to laugh about it all.
A little humor goes a long way.
This deep dive has been a blast. Thank you for joining us as we explore the heart of Blood Bowl. It's more than just a game. It's a reflection of who we are.
The pleasure was all mine. And until next time, may your dice rolls always be in your favor.
And may your decisions on and off the pitch be filled with wisdom, courage, and a little bit of that strategic thinking we've talked about today. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, it really is like a reflection of you,
yeah.
You know, as a coach, as a person.
Yeah, I like that. It's a lot to think about.
It is, right? So would you be the coach who goes for like those super agile underworld teams all about speed and tactics?
Interesting.
Or would you be drawn to like the brute force of the orcs? Or maybe you'd go for the black orcs, you know, the unbreakable wall.
It's tough, isn't it? So many options.
So many ways to play.
And it's not just about strategy. It's about, like you said, it's about you. How do you approach things? Are you a risk taker? Do you go for those big wins? Or are you more about control? Taking things slow and steady.
I'd probably be a mix of both, honestly.
Yeah, I think we all are in some ways. But then there's the bad luck factor, those moments, you know, fumbles, terrible dice rolls. How would you, as a coach, deal with that?
Oh, the worst.
Would you tell your players to just shake it off, focus on the next play? Or would you be the type to, like, analyze everything, dive into the stats, try to find patterns?
You know me, I'd be digging into those stats for sure.
I knew you'd say that. Always looking for those insights.
Gotta find those edges, right?
Absolutely. But that's what makes Blood Bowl so fascinating, I think. It makes you think on so many levels. It's strategic, it's unpredictable, and it's full of those emotional ups and downs.
And like we said before, it really does apply to life in general, doesn't it?
It totally does. It's like a mirror. We're always making decisions, facing those setbacks, those moments where we just need a little bit of luck to go our way.
Yep, it's all connected.
So yeah, as you imagine yourself coaching that Blood Bowl team, think about how you handle those same things in your own life. Are you calculated? Trying to minimize those chances? Or do you just go for it, full speed ahead?
That's a good question, actually.
This deep dive has been fantastic. We've really explored the heart of Blood Bowl, haven't we? It's not just a game, it's a reflection of us.
It is. It's been fun.
We've seen how those choices we make, even the small ones, can have a huge impact. They shape things in ways we might not even realize. We can't always control the randomness, but we can be ready for it. Adapt, adjust, and like you said, find a way to laugh about it all.
Got to keep that sense of humor, right?
Absolutely. This deep dive has been a blast. Thank you for joining us as we explored the heart of Blood Bowl. We've uncovered the strategies, the human side. It's been a great journey.
My pleasure, really.
Yeah.
And until next time, may your dice rolls always be in your favor.
And may your decisions on and off the pitch be filled with wisdom, courage, and a good dose of that strategic thinking we talked about today. Thanks for listening.